We've been talking about just getting ready for the year and just preparing our hearts, and I believe everything so far has been fit into this, God preparing our hearts. In the beginning we just said getting back to Jesus, and then the first word was do not worry. So that's already a thing that we can remember all the time, something that comes back all the time. And then we talked about work, not only as something that we do and where we go to, but it's part of our lives and part of our callings, and part of, it's a place where we bring glory to God. Now I just want to continue talk, want to speak a little bit about money this morning. Usually money is not a thing that we want to speak about. When our salary slips, it's all private, or in my history of work, usually they say don't discuss it with your colleagues and stuff like that. But Jesus spoke a lot about money. He spoke more than money than anything else. Except maybe the kingdom of God, that's it. But often we want to go to the Bible and we want to learn about our faith and how to follow Jesus and all of those things. But when it comes to money, we go to our textbooks or we go to Business Day. I don't know if you, I've got a friend, she reads Business Day every day. It's part of her job. And there's some good stuff in there. And some of us, we go to the internet, we go to our friends, we just talk to people. But Jesus spoke a lot about money. So I just want to highlight a few things. I was also challenged as I prepared for this message this morning. And I was challenged just to, God just asked me what is going on in my heart. Because sometimes we want to follow Jesus, but we just want to do some things that we are comfortable with. And my prayer is that we will just allow the Word to speak to us this morning. Because we've heard last week our work and what we do and throughout the day, that's all spiritual. That's all a part of our walk with God. And God wants to do great things through our lives. He's already doing amazing things, and also our money. That's part of what God has given us that we can use for His kingdom. And there's a slide right at the end, I think, where we say we are called to obey God. We are called to be obedient to Him. We are here to glorify God and to use our money to extend His kingdom. So I just want to put it right up front. You don't have to see where it's going. This is where it's going. This is the challenge, because we've got our own ideas, got our own ways of doing things, but God called us to bring glory to His name. He loves us. And another, I think it's just before or after the quote that said, "With God," and do you see that slide there? We'll get to it later, don't worry. Okay, Hebrews 4 verse 12 said, "The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." And often, this is just the Bible. This is just a word about the word of God. And often what happens when we look at our relationship with money, look at how we work with money and how we treat money, it exposes something that's going on in our hearts. And that is the thing that happened. Money is a good thing. We just put it out there. Money is good. The word said the love of money, that's the root of all evil. But not money. It's interesting when we look at money, it just got value because we can use it to get something. Someone accepted it. It's like Bitcoin. Bitcoin got value when retailers start accepting it. If it's just stuff that is there, nobody accepts it as a way of payment, then it's just out there. So right in the beginning, when people were just trading an ox for a wagon, that was just it. You give an ox, you give me a wagon, I give something else, you give me something. And then money was just a convenient way to trade. It just came in and say, instead of you giving me your wagon, rather give me money. Then at least I can be more flexible. I can now use that money for different things. That is just right in the beginning. Jesus even said in the Word, I think in Deuteronomy, he said to the guys, you bring all these offerings and you travel a long way. You can actually sell it, take the silver, travel, and then buy the animals again, what you want to use for offering. So money was very convenient. Instead of traveling with all your animals throughout the whole desert, you could have used money in a very convenient way. And mostly when we think about money, we think that I want more. I don't have enough. Or I just wanted to make sure that there will be enough at this point or at that point or at that point. And we've got all these markers that we've laid out. And that's often how we think about money. And Jesus got a hold. Jesus is coming and he's just showing us through the Word how money is, it shows what's going on in our hearts. Our relationship with money. And ultimately, it's a battle for our hearts. It's a battle for our hearts. I realized that throughout my career, when I started work, I remember my first paycheck. And then I remember the teachings at Bible school about tithing and everything. And I thought, man, is this now going to start? Because before that, I just gave, I've got money from my parents, and then I will give some of that. But when I started to work, I just made a decision, and I'm not sharing it to put guilt on anyone. I'm just sharing my own journey. I made the decision. I'm going to tithe, and when we got married, me and Lee, that's what we do. But I've experienced times where there were a lot of money, especially in Clancy when Lee was still working as an engineer for the beers. It was very, it was great in that regard. I remember times when I started my business and the business partner pulling out, and I had to make a decision, what am I going to do? I remember when I felt God calling me to the ministry, working as a programmer, suddenly there's a lot of decisions that I need to make. But money is not a good master. Money is a terrible master. If we're just going to go on what we have and allow money to dictate our lives, that is not the way that we should live. And that is a challenging thing. It doesn't come easy. It was not easy for me. But those are some of the real things that I worked through. And I realized that throughout, I cannot go now and say, Lord, I've tithed so much through about maybe 17 years. It's a lot of money. This is the stuff that I could have done. I've come to realize that I can't outgive God. I can't outgive God. I can't get to a point where I say, Lord, now you owe me something. Because I've received a lot from God. I've received a lot, and it is just amazing. Yeah, just to know that God is with us before anything else. Because sometimes we want to follow God to get something. And when things are tough, we say, Lord, but where are you now? But God is with us, and sometimes He's building character. He's doing something in our lives. And that's why it's important to stay close to the Lord and to ask Him for the right perspective in every season of our lives, because God want to be the master of our lives, and He want to guide us. The children, they are putting up shop in our home, my children, every week. So yesterday Samuel just want to buy animals, so he wanted a mouse. We actually went to the pet shop for the fish, but then he saw a mouse and it was very cute and it's running around. He said, Daddy, I want a mouse. I said, no. Yeah, we've got a cat and a hamster. Now you want a mouse. I said, that whole combination, I don't think it's good. At least the hamster can still, they can let your hamster run where the cat is not there, and it's okay. But that mouse is fast. Now I see the mouse running and then the cat bring it back and then let it go again. So now he's convinced, and then he started building. Because now he's asking us for the mouse. We say, this is what it's going to cost. He looked at his money. He said, I've got the money. I don't have money for food. But Daddy, maybe you and Mommy can pay for the food. and I'll pay for the mouse and I'll build the cage. Then we don't have to buy a cage. And he started building. He built this massive thing out of two glass containers. And he put steps in with double-sided tape out of hardboard. And it all got it all worked out. And I said, no, we're not buying a mouse. Yeah, he was a bit down. And then he moved to a fish. He said, okay, but then we're on the fish again. And I said to him, just buy Gustav's hamster. Because they're buying and selling every week. And they said, Daddy, the hamster is not for sale. We can buy anything else. They buy toys. Every now and then I see something. I thought it was someone else. Then he said, no, we bought it. So, okay. They had a shop. They bought it. It's theirs. And that started going, and I realized that money plays a big role. Even for them, they're just having fun. They learn a lot. They play, and their decisions, I'm trying to also, their decisions, there are consequences for these things. But now there is a fish at our house. It arrived yesterday in a plastic bag. But I'm also teaching them for this, just, it's not just coming. We must see how it impacts our lives and how we add on and how it's all going to work. And that's great for them. Now I want to just go to the Bible. I'm going to read quickly about a few things. And then let's allow the Word of God just to show us how Jesus thought about money. And the first one is Luke 19. We know Zacchaeus, he was the short guy that wanted to see Jesus coming into Jericho. And he climbed in a tree and Jesus walked past under the tree and he said, I want to go to your house. I want to dine with you. And it's amazing when what happened. He ran ahead and he climbed a tree. Jesus came there. Jesus looked up, called him by name, Zacchaeus. And they come down. I must be a guest in your home today. So, it's like you can tell anyone, yeah, I'm a guest in your house today. You must go home so long and prepare the meat. Zacchaeus climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. The people were displeased. He's gone to be a guest of a notorious sinner. This is now the New Living Translation. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord. Immediately made such an impact. He stood before the Lord and listened. He said, I will give half my wealth to the poor. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. And Jesus responds, he said, salvation has come to your house. Salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. It was amazing how when he had this encounter with Jesus, it impacted his life in such a way that he just decided to make right with finances. And that's all that he said. He said, Lord, I'm going to give, I'm going to make right. And Jesus said, salvation has come to your house. Jesus made a connection to his heart and following Jesus and to the way he's using his money. And then there was the rich young ruler in Matthew 9, also in Matthew 19, that he's also coming to Jesus. Let me just read some of that for us as well. This rich man, someone came to Jesus with this question, Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And first Jesus asked, why ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments. Which one? The man said. Jesus said, you must not murder. And he named some of the commandments. And then he said, I've obeyed all these commandments. What else must I do? So, up to there, it seemed like someone come to me and they say, what must I do to follow Jesus? I said, listen, you must do this. You must obey the commandments. These are things. And then he'll say, I'm already doing all of that. And most of us will say, that's great. Just go on. Continue doing it. And Jesus immediately, he was aware of what is going on in his heart. And then he said to this man, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me. The thing is, Jesus didn't give this response to everyone that came to him and talked to him about following him. He gave it to this guy. I believe he just knew what is going on in his heart. So we're not going to make this a doctrine or say this is what you must do. But this is what happened there. When the young man, this guy was eager to follow Jesus. When he heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciple, I tell you the truth, it is very hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And he go on. And what Jesus was actually saying is, if money is your master, it is difficult to be fully dedicated to God. You can't serve both. And Jesus has realized this challenge and this thing, and these disciples, the word said, they were astonished. They were astonished. They said, Lord, how can we then enter the kingdom? How can we follow you? What is going on with you? And that didn't change. That is still the same. Today we might see many people say we're going to follow God, but then what we do, we make a few compartments. We say, this is what I want to do. And Lord, this is, you're almost playing on your terms. Say, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to follow you. And this is what I think. And that, and those things, what you're saying there, I will still think about it. I will still think if it applies, if it applies to my life. And I realize that, you know, I do the same. We read the word and you say, maybe not that part. That was just there. This is a bit easier. I'll do that. But Jesus is challenging us, and I believe he's tugging on our hearts. And for each one of us, that might be different, what he's telling us. But as we continue in this year and allowing God to just walk this journey with God, it's an exciting place to be. It's the best place to be, to walk with God. But sometimes there might be a challenge. And it might even be in our finances, in the way we relate to our possessions, how we do our work. That might be very challenging. But it will be rewarding. We will see God coming through for us. And I still remember when I was in Malawi as a student on my first outreach with Shofar. Well, no, actually just before my first one, that was still a student church. But standing there, and I had all my money, and I was thinking about everything I want to buy just before we came back to South Africa. And there were a few things I want to buy as gifts. I had everything lined up. And as we went to the bus that morning, I felt God telling me, give your money to the missionary. I thought, no. And I felt, I really had the impression that I must give everything. I said, no, I already get money from a student loan and from my parents, and now I managed to get this. The amazing thing is, as I got on the bus for that mission trip, a good friend of mine came to me, and he gave me an envelope. And he said, I felt God want to give this money to you. So he gave me this money, and that was the money that I got with me, and I thought, I'm going to use it now. Now I feel God telling me to give it away. But I'm not speaking about just getting good thoughts and stuff. You get that thing that I think this, I feel this is what God wants me to do. So eventually I said, I can't get rid of this thought. It's bugging me. So I gave the envelope to the missionary. He's still, Pastor Henry, he's still in part of our Shofar Malawi. And I got on the bus and I just left. I said, okay, I'm not taking souvenirs home, whatever. So I really love bargaining and stuff anyway. I got home and that is when I was studying for my computer science exam. I heard a glass broke. Some of you know the story. There were people breaking in into the house across the road. So it was 2 o'clock in the morning. And I know the sound of glass that break. I broke many windows at home. So that is a very distinct sound. And when I heard it, I knew there's something wrong. I phoned the police. They caught the guys. And a week later, the old lady that was staying there, she came over and she said she heard that I phoned the police and she wanted to give me a reward. And she gave me that exact amount that I gave to the missionary. That same amount. And I said, okay, Lord, you're starting to teach me something here that I don't understand. You're showing me something about your economy and your kingdom that I'm not aware of. And some of the decisions that we made, Lee and I, it will not look like the wisest decisions. I know because people told me. Not everyone. Well, my father-in-law is quite on my case for a while because he wanted his daughter to have enough and everything. And that was quite challenging. Even when I resigned just to go to Clancia, got married and moved there. Because he wanted us to, I can work and Lee can work there and just have a long distance relationship. And Jackie, you've got a good job. And then you check on the JSE and you see the share price of the company going up. He said, man, that company must stay there. And I told him that God opened a door, he can open it again. And it was a year before I started working in Clancia. And then when it just was amazing, many of you know this story, but I just feel of sharing it again for those who don't know it. When we resigned there, again, the Beers, they wanted Lee to stay. And they made offers that was amazing. Very significant offers for us to stay in the Beers. But I already felt and we already prayed where God is leading us and what we need to do. And even then, I didn't know how it's going to work out. But people, somebody just gave me money. Somebody else opened their home where we can stay. Things started falling in place afterwards. And I realized that, Lord, I don't understand everything about your kingdom dynamics. Sometimes I at one stage, I thought that I'm a good steward of money. I figured it out. I'm trusting God. And then something changed in our circumstances. And then I realized that I'm not really trusting God. There was just enough at the time. I thought my heart is, I'm with God. I'm running with Him. And I got really challenged in a big way. And throughout. But then I saw this thing of God will never drop us. He will never leave us. But part of my breakthroughs came in community. Some of my breakthroughs came through people that was in church or just walked the road with me or sharing of other people that were obedient to what God told them. And I realized that's this thing of when we come together, when we partner with God, it's not just me and my story. It's us bringing glory to God's name. It's us walking together. And then it seems like then there's a lot of stuff. When we see ourselves as all partnering with one another to bring glory to God's name, and all partnering to extend God's kingdom and just to obey Him. And that is the challenge. The disciples realize it right there with the rich man. They say, wow, Lord, what is going on? The interesting thing is when that guy came to Jesus and he said, what must I do to have eternal life? He was a good Jew. We can assume that he was a Jew. He's following Jesus. They were giving 10% of their income to the poor. They were already used to offerings. They're already used to all those things as part of their culture, part of what they do, part of their teaching. So that wasn't the issue. Jesus knew what's in his heart. So you want to follow me, this is what I put in front of you. And I'm not saying it's going to be like that for everyone. I'm just saying there's a connection between how we treat our money and our possessions and to our following Jesus. That's the thing. And Christ wants to be Lord over every area of our hearts, every area of our lives. And that's the challenge. And I believe in our relationship with God, that is something that we ask God, we talk to Him about, and we try to figure it out. The interesting thing in John, when the people came to John the Baptist, John and Luke 3, I'll just show you something about this connection. John was baptizing people, and we read in the beginning of Luke 3, they heard the voice crying out in the wilderness, He was preparing the way for the Lord's coming. Then in verse 7, the crowds come to John to be baptized. So now the people are coming. And they say, and then he said this to them. He said, "You brood of snakes, who warned you to flee God's coming wrath? Prove by the way you live that you've repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to one another, 'We're safe, for we are descendants of Abraham.' That means nothing." And then the crowd said, "Yo, you are..." He's talking quite straight to them. And they say, "What must we do? What must we do? We want to make right with God." And then it's interesting that his reply is telling them to do things of their possessions. It gets back to possessions, to money, the way their relationship is with these things. And he said to them, "If you have two shirts, give one to the poor. If you have food, share it with those who are hungry." Again, he made that connection. Then the tax collectors came to be baptized. "Our teacher, what should we do?" He said, "Collect no more taxes than the government requires." Then the soldiers came to him. "What should we do?" He said, "Don't extort money or make false accusations. Be content with your pay." He made these connections. These guys come to be baptized. He spoke a specific word to each one of them, to each group, about their relationship with their money. And again in Acts 19, we see the sorcerers, the guys, they were doing all kind of wicked things and occult, and it was in Ephesus. "Many we became believers, confesses their sinful practices. A number of them who had been practicing sorcery brought their incantation books and burnt them at a public bonfire." So they brought their magic books and all their spells and everything, and they burned these things. And then the value of the books was several million dollars. That's now the NLT that tried to, what they wrote there, tried to convert it back to us. They say it was 50,000 days worth of wages. So that's a lot of money. A couple of million dollars. But the amazing thing afterwards, so the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. The thing is, as they came to the Lord, people began to see how they relate to their possessions and their money. There's something else. There's a shift. Things are changing. And that had a big effect on just the people that were on the outside. They see. And the message of the Lord was spreading. And that is what I realized, is that for us, as we come to the Lord, as we follow God, there's a battle for our hearts. There's a battle for our hearts. I really sense that God is preparing us for things that He want to do and things that He want to tell us. This is all preparation. But the battle is for our hearts. And it's not just to give stuff away. I believe it will be... There's a message for each one of us. Because that's from our relationship with the Lord. How we operate and how we do things. And Jesus had this... Yeah, he just had this way of talking about money throughout. So if I'm a financial advisor, I like to talk about medical aids and gap cover and reward schemes is my favorite. I just love it. You can do stuff and get rewarded for that. And money. so and insurance and where you can save and all those kind of things. And I realized that the way we think and the way Jesus teaches us, it's not always the same. We can just, so we see in the Bible, we see this where, say someone come to us and say, I've got just my last bit of money. It's 2 coins. And I feel I must just give it everything. I'm going to throw it all in the offering. And then I don't have any more money for food and nothing. I will probably say, no man, I'm not sure if you must do that. I'm not sure. Maybe just keep it. You know, God is good and He knows what's in your heart and He will look after you. And maybe you want to tell you something else. But this is what happened when Jesus was sitting there looking at the people throwing their money in the offering. I don't know how close they were sitting, because they said Jesus was sitting there and His disciples were there and people came and threw in their offering. So you must probably be very close to see that it was 2 coins. And it might have been a bit, I don't know, uncomfortable. Have someone sit here and check everyone coming around. And then just check. And that is what the word's saying. That's what happened. And when this one is Mark 12. It was in Mark 12 there where Jesus said, He saw what this woman did. This woman came along. She put in the coins. And He said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put in more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put in everything. All she had to live on. And the thing is, we would probably tell someone that's doing that, say, this is not wise. This is not something that we would recommend. This is just the way we think about things and about life. And Jesus, He took this and He made it a public statement. He put it in as an example in the word. It will be proclaimed forever and ever and ever. We don't know what happened to this woman after that. But Jesus said she's wise. She's doing a good thing. And even His disciples, they were amazed. And then if someone come to us and said, listen, my business is doing really well. I just think that I'm going to build more factories. I'm going to store up more. And I say, wow, it sounds like a good plan, man. You're really blessed. And they said, yeah, I'm just going to extend more. I want to prepare for my retirement. I want to make sure that I have enough. And I would probably say it sounds good. Sounds like the Lord is blessing you. It's going well. And that's it. And you walk away. And we see that as well. Where this guy coming again. And that happened in Luke 12. Where we meet this rich man coming. He had a farm that produced fine crops. In Luke 12, verse 16, he said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. And he said, I know. I'll tear down my barns. I'll build bigger ones. I'll have enough room to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said to him, you fool. You will die this very night. And then we will get everything you've worked for. And I realized that these are things that we will regard as wise to store up. And I'm not saying all these things to change everything. I'm just saying that there's a connection between how we relate to our money and our relationship with Jesus. And Jesus is challenging us. He is coming to us. He's challenging us in a big way. So there's a way that we can work with money. I know when I have times where there was really a lot of money. For me to give money away, it was just something that we just do to feel good. It didn't challenge me. It wasn't out of my comfort zone or anything. I'm just saying, I didn't have a conviction at the time to do anything else. I will add that as well. But that was my story. That is what happened. And all that I see is Jesus is really telling, he's really challenging us. And it's a test. It's a test for our character. And I know that where we always read about that we will have to give an account of what God has given us. I just want to say from my side, and I believe for us as a church, that we can say to the Lord, Lord, we want to be good stewards of what you are giving us. We want to be good stewards. We want to see your kingdom come. Lord, you can trust us. We want to get this right. I believe there is enough. There is enough. God is the God of everything. And Jesus is giving us these examples. And he's telling us what we do with our money is not only our business, it's God's business as well. It's also God's business. And it's often that we think that some of the things that we read, that's maybe not related to me. C.S. Lewis, he called God the great interferer. He said, God comes and he interferes. He interferes in the way we do things. He interferes in how we relate to things. This company, you can also call him the great stirrer. Randy Clark, he wrote a book about money, possessions, and eternity. He said this amazing thing. He said, as he grew in his financial stewardship, and in his walk with the Lord, he realized the blessing. That God said it's more blessed to give than to receive. But he said he came to experience at one place where he experienced the same joy in leading someone to Christ as the joy he experienced when he's making wise and generous choices with the money and possessions that he has. And that for me, that's something else. And that both are acts of worship. Both are acts of worship. Both are ways that God is using to redeem, to make right. And that's what we said last week as well. God is coming. He's in the restoration business. He's in the business of making right. He's in the business in restoring our hearts, challenging us. But he's also in the business of seeking the lost and saving them. He saved us. And he wants to use us for his glory. For his kingdom. And then the question is, do we trust God? Do we trust God? As we come to him and as we ask him this thing, do we trust him that it will be okay? Or are we just going to hold on and see how we can manage things? That is a challenge. Martin Luther said that it is the conversion of the heart, the mind, and the purse is necessary for us to follow Jesus. Three conversions. And I realize that's very true. Sometimes we keep the purse away and we say, Lord, I just want to, the rest, I'm following you. I want to do great things. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he said, our hearts have room only for one all-embracing devotion. And we can only cleave to one Lord. Meaning that it's quick for money to become an idol. Money is a good thing. But when we expect money to do things for us that it cannot do, it's going to be a bad thing. Money is a bad master. And God says, we can't be devoted to God and to mammon and to the systems of this world and everything. And I believe that is the challenge for us. That we need to look at our hearts, we look at our relationship with God and say, Lord, I want to be devoted to you. And that's a process. It's still a process. Maybe there's something that God is stirring on your heart. There's something, a conviction for something. Maybe a small thing where you can start to do something different. But that is all steps of the Lord working with us and we're responding out of that place of relationship with the Lord. I'm also challenged in this regard money is part of our lives. It's everywhere. It is all around us. But God is above it all. God is above it all. So let's just continue. Just don't just walk out of here and think, okay. I want us to continue to search the scriptures. There's a lot, obviously there's a lot about money, much more than anything else. They say 15% of the recorded words of Jesus is about money. And our relationship with money and possession. So obviously this is a very important thing that we want to get right. I'm going to just show us a movie clip of Reinhard Bonnke, evangelist, and then we're going to end off. Thing has no more than he who has God alone. He who has God and everything has no more than he who has God alone. And that's maybe why that widow, that she could have thrown her last coins and God could have said that she's making a wise decision, because he knew that she had God. And then she's got everything. And that, I believe, is a challenge for us. And you can stand. I just pray that God will help us to really trust him in this year, to trust him and how we steward everything. Because often we all talk about stewardship and this, and I believe it's much more than all of that. It's more than that. Well, we give teachings about tithing and offering and alms. Tithing is what I do when I give some of my money to the church. Offering is, I bring offerings over that, and the alms I give to the poor, or when I help people. And we have teachings about that as well. But God is interested in our hearts. He's interested in our relationship with him. He wants the best for us. And I believe many years ago, and even till today, he knows that the impact of money and possessions and these things have on our lives and our relationship with him. And he's calling us to be devoted to him. And I pray that, like it said on the slide, that we will have one desire to obey Christ. A week ago at intercession, I just felt that I must just be more bold in inviting people to church and just telling them, I'm a pastor here at Century City, and come to church. And don't you want to come? And this is a small thing that I felt when we were praying that I want to change. Just trust God for more boldness. Maybe it sounds weird that I'm saying it, but I've used to say that sometimes when I tell them I'm a pastor, then the conversation changes. Then it's not the same anymore. But now that I felt God giving me a new strategy. It's something I just pray about. I felt it's something new. And it was amazing. I had a few opportunities this week already to connect with people at a shop and two at a restaurant. And it's great. I don't know if they're coming, but I'm just trusting God for a new boldness. And that is the thing in our relationship with God, as we spend time with him, as we ask God. He's going to give us keys. He's going to give us keys to extend his kingdom. Keys to build his kingdom. And that excites me. Keys to use our finances and our possessions, to use it in a good way for him. And then it comes to that one purpose, to glorify Christ in all things. And to use our resources to advance the kingdom of God. And I realize that, lastly, there's safety in the community. There's safety in us coming together, serving God together. There's safety in coming us together in small groups. I've got an idea what's going on in some people's lives. I know what they're trusting God for. We're praying together for that. We see the breakthroughs. We've got testimonies in our church how some people helped other people. That is just examples, but that is bringing glory to God. That is when we tap in to what God is doing. So let's just this end in worship and maybe just start to say, Lord, I want to surrender again. I want to surrender my life to you.